So the sermon title is, What Will You Leave? What will you leave?
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
All right, come on, would you pray together with me? And let's ask the Lord to help us as we get into the Word here this morning. Father, we bless your name. And now we're about ready to chew off another portion of your word. Lord, man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. So I'm asking that you would help us to chew on that for a while and that you would cause your anointing to make it real to us. In Jesus' name, God's people say, amen and amen this morning. All right, so the Lord has put a message upon my heart this morning, and I want to get into this. I have one verse that I want to talk about here this morning, and if you'll go with me to Proverbs chapter 13. Now, we've been studying the book of Proverbs on Wednesday evenings, And we have not gotten to this one yet because the pastor is just so long-winded that we've just taken a long time on that, right? Nobody said amen, right? All right. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22 says this. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinners laid up for the just. Now, I want to read that one more time. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. How many of you ever read that verse before? I want to talk about that verse here more, really throughout the whole sermon. But what does the word inheritance mean? Most of us, well, not most. How many of you have received an inheritance of some sort along the way in your life? Might have been from a grandparent, might have been from a parent, an aunt, an uncle. But an inheritance means something that is bequeathed, something that is given, or something that is divided. So, keep that in mind of what the word inheritance means. Something that's given, something that's divided, something that is bequeathed. Well, this morning I want to read a story that I came across. And it is about a man that the article calls Old Man Fitzwilliam. Old Man Fitzwilliam was known for his gnarled hands, the ones that could coax life from the hardest soil and repair anything with a bit of twine and ingenuity. Know anybody like that? MacGyver, yeah. All right. He didn't have... I don't know what to say to that. All right. But thank you. You caught me with nothing to say. All right. Some of you say, write that down. He didn't have much in the way of material wealth, but his garden, a vibrant explosion of color and fragrance in the heart of the village, was legendary. Every spring, children would flock to his fence, eyes wide as he shared stories about each blossom, where it came from, and how it thrived. He taught them not just the names of the flowers, but the importance of patience, of nurturing, and of finding beauty in the smallest things. His most important lesson, though, was about the ripple effect of kindness. Kindness, he would say, is like planting a seed you may never see bloom. Yet it still keeps to grow something beautiful. He practiced what he preached, always offering a gentle word, a helping hand, and a fresh bouquet of flowers to anyone in need. When old man Fitzwilliam finally passed away, the village mourned his loss, but his legendary life and his legacy lived on. The garden, now tended by the same children he had taught, continued to flourish, a living testament to his kindness and wisdom. People would visit, remembering his stories and finding solace and inspiration in the vibrant beauty he had created. The ripple effect of his kindness continued as those he had touched carried his lessons into their own lives, planting seeds of compassion and goodwill for future generations. How many of you want to be like old man Fitzwilliam? I love that story because Laura has been telling us in the last few weeks about what? Kindness and being kind and passing that on. She's got a board out there that's all lit up. Show kindness today. Today in the sanctuary, all these balloons that say smiley face on them. Be kind to someone. So I have to ask the question, how many of us have taken that to heart, to be kind to others? You see, it doesn't have anything to do with whether you get paid back for the kindness. As they shared in that story about old man Fitzwilliams, his kindness lived on. And sometimes kindness is like a seed that is planted that you may never see what grows out of it. But be assured that it will grow. It will grow. And so, I'm going to reaffirm what Laura said, even though this isn't the title of my sermon. Be kind. Make someone smile by your kindness this week. Do something. Do you know that even a smile can bring joy to someone? They're having a bad day, or whatever the case, and you just look at them and you say, it's going to be all right. That's going to bring joy. But I read that story because old man Fitzwilliams left something after he was gone. Now, so the sermon title is, What Will You Leave? What will you leave to those that are around you? What will you leave to your children? What will you leave to your family? Now, of course, that opening scripture that I read, giving an inheritance from what we read here, a good man leaves an inheritance. Of course, that does have to do with leaving some material things and finances to your children's children. But it also goes way beyond that. See, oftentimes when we hear that scripture, that's all we hear. And I talked to a man one time that he wouldn't give anything to anyone else because he said, I am keeping the scripture here that I am to leave an inheritance for my children's children. And so gathering every single dollar that he could to leave to his children's children, to his grandchildren. Say, that's my part. But that was the only thing that he did. According to what we know here, what we leave is a seed that will grow in the lives of our children and their children and their children and their children. What will you leave to them? That's my question this morning. The Lord just continued to bring that upon my heart. Is it a bad thing to leave some things to your children? No, that's not a bad thing. But it should not be what our goal is to just leave them some financial things. Some might say, well, I'm going to leave them my car. I'm going to leave them my house. I'm going to leave them money. Those things will perish, folks. That is going to perish. What we want to leave is something called a legacy. So when you look up the definition of legacy, here's what it means. The long-lasting impact, actions that are left from a person's life. Something that is transmitted or received from another, from an ancestor, or from a predecessor. In other words, what are you transmitting to those that are around you? What are you giving to them? How many of you, just by show of hands, you believe that something was passed down to you that was a legacy from someone else and you picked up the torch and ran with it? Anybody? It could be anything. Hopefully it was a good thing. But we'll talk about that at the end of this message. Something that has a long-lasting impact on others. As much as we don't like to dwell on these kinds of things here, short of the catching away that the Bible talks about, what many refer to as the rapture of the church, short of that happening, all of us will see death. You know, that's one thing that has a 100% success rate. And none of us like to talk about that, but Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment that we stand before the Lord. Go over with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul talks about this. And I want to read verse 9 through 11. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone might receive the things done in his body. According to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are manifest in your consciences. Now, so what is Paul saying? Caleb, when we're young, we don't ever think that's going to happen. That's a long way off. But I can tell you now, it seems like it's not that far off. All of us, one day, will face that time when we will pass. So, my question now, you looking at verse 11 there, he said, we persuade men. Paul knew that we only have a certain amount of time on this earth. So therefore, we persuade men. Now, you and I are going to persuade men, those that are around us one way or another, with what you leave as a legacy. Don't be deceived. It will happen. And I don't want people to say at my funeral, or not a funeral, but a memorial service, oh, what a good guy he was. I don't want that said of me. And I'm not planning on going anywhere right now. But if I do, in the memorial service, somebody make sure that they don't say he was a good guy. What do I want said? He loved God. And he did his very best to disciple and to bring the word of God that lives would be changed and continue to move on in the faith of Jesus Christ. That doesn't get any better. That's the legacy that I want to leave. Is that the legacy that you want to leave? They love God. She loved God. She wanted so much for others to love God. You see, it's all about what we do. That is my heart and what God has been bringing to me. And I love this, that Jonathan had to leave early now, but he was wearing a shirt. And that shirt I absolutely loved. It talked about being a Jesus disciple. See, you and I are called to disciple, to leave a legacy. Are we leaving the legacy of our faith in Jesus Christ? I'm telling you, that's great. Leave them your car. Leave them your collectibles. But those things are going to perish. They're going to go away. And I know, I think about, I got this little collection. It's small, but all the places that I've been, I try to collect money from that place. And it doesn't amount to anything, but just different kinds of money. And one day when Madison was there years ago, she said, "Papa," she was looking at that, and she said, "Would you leave me that money?" Grammy was trying to leave me dolls, but I want that money. Okay? The money will perish. I don't want to leave just the money. I want to leave a legacy of my faith in Christ. Was my faith real? Or did I just talk about it? Was my faith real that my family, my friends, the people that know me know that it's real? That's what matters. That's what matters, folks. You know, our faith is the only thing that's going to stand. Peter realized that, and I want you to go over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 11 through 15. "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Though you know them and be established in the present truth, yes, I think it is meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, right here, this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, this body, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you might be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." Is that our prayer? Peter said, "Of all that I have, that's what I want to leave you. I want to leave you that." And that would be the greatest thing to me, that after I pass, someday I'll meet you in heaven, and there will be others that are coming along with you, because that faith continued. That faith continued. That's what I want. Always put you in remembrance. Always put you in remembrance of these things. God wants you to do that for your family, folks. He does. We cannot be silent with our faith. Now, again, use the whole counsel of God. We don't go around with the Bible and beating people over the head and beating your family over the head with it. Right? You don't do that. You're going to get the word. But we bring the word of God through our lives. Through our lives and how we act. And then as you have opportunity, share that word of God. But don't be silent with that. Remember, it's all about leaving the legacy. Psalm, I better get with it here. You okay for a couple hours here? Here we go. The book of Psalms. Psalm 145. Psalm 145. And I want to read a few verses of this. I will extol thee, my God. O King, I will bless your name forever and ever. I feel like my mule needs to be handed off again, Patty. Every day will I bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of your majesty and of your wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. Come on, folks, are we doing that? Are we speaking of his glory? Are we speaking of his power? Are we doing this and letting our families know? Or what legacy are we leaving? Are we leaving them a legacy of, yes, he worried all the time. She worried all the time about everything. Is that a good legacy to leave, folks? Is that what's being transmitted? Or what's being transmitted? You know what? All they did, what I remember, is that it didn't matter what situation was happening in their lives. They said, I'm going to give God praise. I'm going to shout of the good things of God. That makes an impression. Somebody is doing that on a regular basis. You will be remembered for that. You will be remembered. That legacy will live on, that in times that seemed as terrible as could be, they were giving God praise. They were doing what Psalm 145 says. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, and constantly bringing these things to our family and our children's children and those that are around us. If you don't have children and you don't have children's children, you can still leave a legacy to those that are around you, folks. Here's another thing, and I wrote this down and I should have put it in bold letters up there. We should always recount and retell the things that God has done for us. Now, every family has stories that just get passed down, and you talk about them, about, you know, the kids and what they did when they were little and all these kinds of things. And they just get passed down. How many, when you're having family time, you got these stories that just circulate like over and over again about what little Johnny did. Oh, you remember this and you remember that. And we recount those things. And how many of you can remember some of those stories? Just right now, I'm talking about that family stories. You can remember some of those stories? Yeah? And they just get circulated and circulated, and everybody likes to talk about them and likes to laugh about those things. What would it be like within our family times together, we began to recall the good things that God has done for us? That leaves a legacy. They don't have to be big, long stories. I can remember one of the things that my dad used to tell me. Dad didn't have a lot of patience with me. And Whenever I would start to tell a story, it would be a long story. And finally, in the middle of it, my dad would say, Jerry, get to the point. Yeah. But how about if we retell the stories that God's done for us? Just let our families know that. Let those around us know that. They don't have to be long stories. I remember when God delivered me from an accident. Oh, my goodness, that was 15 years ago. The Lord came down and just in the split moment caused that car to veer away from me. Oh, I'm so thankful for what God did. See, retelling of the things God has done for me. I remember there was a time I was in the hospital and things did not look good. And yet, God did something for me. Retell the story, folks. Recount the stories. Count them over to your children. That those become the things that they remember. Psalm 77, since we're in the book of Psalms. Psalm 77, verse 11 and 12, says this, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate also of all your work and talk of your doings. How many of us can talk? How many can really talk? I will talk of your doings. What are we talking about? Now, I'm not saying that you have to constantly be quoting Scripture to everybody around you every day. But talk of the good things of God. Talk of the things that He has done for you. Back in the book of Joshua now. Go back in the book of Joshua, chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4, in verse 21. And He spoke unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Now, give you just a little bit of a heads up on what had just happened. You remember Moses went through the Red Sea? Guess what? The Lord did it for Joshua too. And when they were carrying that ark, that tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, soon as the priests hit that water, the Jordan split. Everybody thinks it was just Moses. But God did it here. And then they set up stones there at that place. And Joshua said, he spoke to the children of Israel saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over the Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up from before us, until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. All right, what was He telling them? Tell your children the things that God's done. We like to pass on those kinds of things, but tell your children and your grandchildren what God's done for you. Recount them all. We know that old song, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. And when we begin to rehearse those things to our children, guess what's going to happen? Those children will begin to rehearse those things that they heard. Rehearse the things that God did for Grammy, that God did for Papa, that God did in all the things in your lifetime. Rehearse them. Rehearse them. Be a legacy, church. Be a legacy. Now, I mentioned this and I want to close with this. Our legacy can be good or bad. You're going to leave a legacy. Which one will it be? Which one? Oh, whatever is. Don't buy that lie from Satan. We get to choose. We get to choose what our life is and what our legacy is and how we lived. I want that to sink in just for a minute. We get to choose. We don't have to be what our parents were. We don't have to be what our grandparents were. And if we had so much of our life that wasn't serving God, it doesn't have to be like that. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old's passed away. Now everything becomes brand new. Rehearse it. Rehearse it, what God's done for me. Rehearse it to your children. 1 Peter chapter 4 now. Go back over here. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 10 says this. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards, not stewarts. By the way, I thought that was really good last week. Lance is just going, be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it to the ability which God gives, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. If any man speak, let him speak as the mouthpiece of God. That's what he's talking about here. What kind of legacy do you want to leave? Now, as we close the service here, this message, I want to give you some examples of those that left a very bad legacy in Scripture. And what I want to start with is a man by the name of Ahab. God put him in to Israel as a king, lifted him up to that position, but Ahab left a legacy. Ahab's legacy was he taught the Israelites not to worship God, but to worship idols. That was the legacy that when he came into office, he pulled them away from worshiping the one and true God to worshiping idols. What do you think? Good legacy? That's pretty bad, isn't it? Then, on top of that, allowed his wife, Jezebel, to dictate and to cause even more sin to come upon the house of God. What kind of a legacy did he leave, folks? Bad. Then there's another fellow by the name of Jeroboam. He did the same thing. Led the people of God into idolatry. Let's go way back to the very beginning. I'm going to mention a name to you. You tell me, good legacy or bad legacy? One name. Cain. You see how now, thousands of years later, we still have the legacy of Cain. So which will it be for us? What will you leave? A good legacy or a bad legacy? We get to choose. Father, thank you for your word here this morning. I know that this brings many of us to this place of examining our lives. Peter knew that his time was coming up, but he wanted his legacy to be that which he had brought of your word, not of what he had lived prior to. Father, I pray for each one in our house, each one listening, that would be our desire, God, our purpose of why we're here, the legacy of our faith in you. Lord, I'm reminded right now that you prayed not only for your disciples while you're here on the earth, but you said you prayed for those of us that would come after that. The word would just continue to come. Lord, right now, I not only pray for these that are here, but God, those that are coming after us. If you tarry and we don't go up in the catching away, I pray for those that come after us, Lord, that our legacy would be far-reaching. They would minister for you. And I'll thank you for that, Lord. We don't want to be short-sighted. We want to thank you that your word is true. And it will accomplish what you sent it to do, and it will prosper in that. So that's our prayer right now, Father. And I thank you for that, and I will give you the praise that's due to you. In Jesus' name.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.